This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, talking to Oanda senior market analysts across the world. And today we're joined by Ed Moyer in New York. Good afternoon from London, Ed. How are you?
I'm great. It feels like it's been too long, Johnny.
Well, it's been 2 weeks, which is a long time. A famous British prime minister said a week is a long time in politics, but 2 weeks is a long time in the markets, is it not?
Very much so. Whatever I said 2 weeks ago, you could just forget it because everything's changed.
You're tempting me to listen back and play it out to you just to check whether you got it all right or not. But Ed, we've seen a significant sell-off over the last few weeks, although stocks did open higher this morning as bargain hunters swooped in following that sell-off, but numbers have come down since.
Very much so. I think overnight we saw there was a little bit of a rally that got triggered by the PBOC. They surprisingly delivered a little bit more of an aggressive move with their rate cuts. They're trying to shore up their property markets. But like you said, I think right now investors are selling, you know, all these rallies that we get. There's still too much uncertainty with the growth outlook, and that's mainly because inflation looks like it's going to remain stubbornly high. And I think the mantra for the markets right now is, you know, sell the rip. Whatever rally we see, there's not a lot of conviction that we're near the bottom just yet. And that's because the Fed is locked in into what some people think is an aggressive tightening cycle. So a couple half point rate increases for June and July. Jackson Hole, maybe they adjust that pace. But right now, it just seems inflation is not going to be easing up as quickly as many were hoping. When you consider the positioning of the market, you know, everyone now is just fixated on growth concerns. And the other problem that has really surprised a lot of traders is that the risks of stagflation, the risks of weaker economic growth, many people weren't really believing that. But the data is starting to show signs that even jobless claims rose. And when you take a look at the housing market, that's obviously peaked. You know, the you're having the best parts of the economy are starting to look a little bit weaker. And the consumer, who's had a lot of money in their savings, is starting to use it. Credit card usage is going up. So this robust consumer was supposed to last throughout the summer. And now it's starting to look like, especially on the lower income family side, it's not looking too rosy right now. And I think you're going to have a market here that is still unconvinced to really buy the dip until people start to believe that the Fed will have a justified excuse to stop tightening so aggressively. And we're not quite there yet. That could happen if risk aversion sends stocks another 5% lower. And more importantly, not because of that. The Fed did acknowledge they are looking at the stock market, but no, they care about liquidity. They care about credit spreads. And when you look at that part of the market, which we seldom talk to about, credit conditions should be the focal point for a lot of traders. And I think what you're going to see is that the spreads are widening. If we see a couple more weeks of risk aversion, you know, running wild, that would most likely be accompanied with you know, a spike higher here in the VIX. I think you're probably going to see that credit concerns, you know, they're not going to be the same problems that we had in 2008 and 2010, but you're going to see that will probably justify the Fed to stop with you know, these half point rate increases, and they might, you know, ease up to a quarter, so that's why, you know, stocks are very interesting right now, because some of these discounts are just so attractive. I mean, when Apple fell into bear market territory, obviously they're really vulnerable to what's happening with China and, you know, all that potential lost revenue because of supply chain issues. But I think long-term growth, there's still a good part of the street that is still, you know, long-term loving that stock. And I think investment in the cloud is a trend that won't be, you know, changing for the next decade. So I think there's still a lot of attractive discounts right now, but I think people are still nervous that we could see another wave of panic selling in these next few weeks.
But from what you've just said, Ed, just shows you how quickly things can change. You're now saying that perhaps we won't see a, 50 basis points rise in rates, but 25. Just a few days ago, the opposite was true. With those concerns about, a recession on its way, growth being adversely affected by all the troubles of the world that we have at the moment, it looks like the brakes might be on those high interest rates, and that will come as a great relief to some.
And just to clarify, I still anticipate June and July are half point rate increases. There's no escaping that. I think that the chance of Jackson Hole being where the Fed pivots to a quarter, that is what we might see a major shift in. And if more of the street believes that the Fed is going to be less aggressive, that could be good news for stocks. But this is obviously going to be dependent on energy, the energy outlook. I think that inflation is still the number one driver here, and we'll see. I mean, China is providing more stimulus. They cut rates. You're seeing considerations for how to grapple with Russian energy and the potential short-term disruptions that we could see. But I think you're probably going to have a market here that is still going to attract tremendous volatility, because there's a great divide on where the economy is headed, and positioning is you could see that most people are being very nimble here. So I think that for the casual investor, casual podcast listener, this is not the time where you dramatically change your 401k into abandoning equities. I think there's still long-term growth potential here. But this is a moment where traders, active traders should brace for more volatility. I think that's a given.
You mentioned energy, Ed, but today I've received an updated email from my energy provider. I'm going to be paying 2.5 times what I was paying in the previous period for my energy bills, which is quite a scary amount, actually, when you look at the figures. I'm sure millions of others will be affected by similar stories. Let me ask you about the dollar. It's pretty flat, isn't it, on the month, the dollar? Is it losing its crown a little?
I think when you look at the dollar, the first thing you need to do is, take a look at, what's happening with treasuries. The short end of the curve, you're seeing, it looks like the peak is in place. And that has really provided, I think, a little bit more of exhaustion in the dollar's rapid rise. I think that the long dollar positioning, that was completely, it got stretched, and now we're starting to see that in FX you could have trends that last for months, years, but the way the dollar was overbought, and considering what's happened with treasury yields, it is ripe for a correction here. And I think that if you're seeing more of a steepening of the curve, I think that is somewhat expected. But I think the dollar should eventually, lose some ground when a lot of these growth concerns over inflation fears are eased. So I think short term we're looking at a moment where the dollar could weaken a little bit more. I think for that long term, bullish bet on with a lot of the European currencies, you're still not in the clear for that outlook, but I think you're probably going to see most traders that are still skeptical about risk appetite here and more hesitant to believe that China's little boost of stimulus here and the set course that the Fed has with tightening, that I think you're probably going to see that more currency traders are going to gravitate towards that, you know, Japanese yen trade. And if risk aversion continues to be the theme, and if you keep hearing, you know, it's no longer buy the dip for stocks, it's sell the rip, then, you know, you're probably looking at a very strong Japanese yen. So I think you're probably going to see that the fears for the market are not going to ease up. And, you know, as we get through more of this tightening cycle across a lot of the major central banks, I think that the dollar is it should be supported, I think, probably throughout the summer. But I think right now, though, we're probably still looking at a little bit more of a pullback here for the greenback.
Going back to the subject of energy, Ed, what do you make of the oil prices at the moment? They just don't seem to want to go down, do they?
It is a market that remains tight. There are the geopolitical and macro backdrop still support higher energy prices, and I think what you're seeing is fuel demand is still outweighing all those recession fears. The oil market is I think still looking at some massive support at that $100 level, and I think that you're probably going to be surprised, but you know, WTI trading at a premium to Brent is shows you just how much demand we're probably going to see here in the U.S. I think, you know, we're just entering that summer peak driving season. There's a big expectation that demand is going to be very robust here, given the trajectory of rig counts and the lack of increases we've seen in production. It seems that U.S. is going to see tight supplies for quite some time. Exports are going to be struggling. You know, OPEC Plus is just locked in a very gradual increase strategy, which, you know, has been reaping tremendous revenues for those countries. And then you throw on the cherry on top is, you know, when the West figures out the best approach of you know, phasing out Russian energy, there are going to be some big gaps of supply disruptions, and that's why you're probably going to see prices will remain supported here. So it looks like the oil market is it's still a favorite trade. You know, even on down days, you know, you see energy stocks doing pretty well today. Energy is still positive, while most of the other sectors are, you know, deeply negative. But right now, I think you know, traders are still looking at you know, whenever a dip emerges for oil, because the volatility is pretty severe at times, people are going to just want to buy that automatically. So get used to higher energy bills going into the winter, and unfortunately that theme is unlikely to change anytime soon.
Well, thanks for reminding me again. Let's have a look at the week ahead. What have we got coming up over the next 7 days or so?
There is, over the weekend, the Australian elections are a big one. But for me, there are a couple standout events. You have the flash PMIs for Europe and the U.S. Always important. I think, you know, once we start to see those readings head closer to contraction territory, that will be very disturbing. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand expected to deliver a rate hike. You know, we have President Biden in the middle of his five-day journey to Asia, meeting various leaders, South Korean president, Japan's prime minister, and you'll see that there will be a lot of emphasis on the war in Ukraine, China's positioning in the South China Sea. I think, you know, for a lot of traders, though, we're going to be focused on a lot of the economic data that is widely expected to show things are getting worse. In the U.S., you have housing data, personal income and spending, more Fed regional surveys, and for the most part, everything is expected to weaken, with the exception, I think, of personal income. So that's going to be a big focal point. There's the FOMC minutes, but I think those are going to be pretty much dated because we've heard from Powell recently and others, which has locked us in for that half point rate increase for next month. Overall, I think you're going to see big focus on China's COVID situation and how the EU handles the Russian energy situation. And right now, Treasury yields are well off their recent highs. And it'll be interesting to see if they continue to attract tremendous demand, which sends the yields lower. So that will be a big focal point for me. You'll see intense volatility most likely. I think the way the sensitivity to reacting to the breaking of so many key technical levels will likely keep the markets very jumpy over the next, leading up to next month's Fed meeting.
Ed, thanks very much for joining us today. Have a very good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
This is the Oanda Podcast.